Ladies and gentlemen, to few men has fame come so quickly as to the man whom you will hear in a few moments. And to few men has success come so abundantly. Yet, and I say this with that man's permission, a little more than 5 years ago, he was an out-and-out failure. Nobody had ever heard of him. He had failed in everything he had tried to do. And then, for the first time, he did something that few of us ever do. He began thinking for himself. He discarded all that had been taught him and blazed his own trail. And he came upon a stupendous truth, a startling discovery, an amazing philosophy that today is known all over the world, that has followers in every civilized country on the globe. Do you think such a man could make an interesting talk? I do, and I'm sure you will agree with me when you hear him. His name, and it's a name you all know, is Dr. Frank Robinson. First, though, let me present your guide, who will take you to Dr. Robinson's study.
This is the little city of Moscow, nestling among the pine-covered hills of northern Idaho. As we turn the corner into the street where Dr. Robinson lives, we catch the strains of pipe organ music. It is coming from Dr. Robinson's study, where he sits at the console, his fingers caressing the keys. And we pause to listen. We go into the house. Dr. Robinson is waiting for us.
Well, we took the privilege of walking right in, Doctor.
Well, that's as it should be. The door is always unlatched to you. Here, give me your hat and coat and sit down.
Thank you, Doctor.
I suppose, as usual, you've come primed with a lot of questions for me to answer, if I can.
Not a lot of questions, Doctor. Just one. It's something that's puzzled me for a long time, but I've never had anybody to discuss it with. Do you believe that anyone had a virgin mother?
No one, including Christ, ever was born of a virgin. The law of nature, which is the law of nature's God, very effectively prevents any such happening as that. If the laws of God governing childbirth ever were broken, in even one instance, they may be broken again. And this entire universe hangs not upon the laws of God, but upon the laws of chance. It never happened. The virgin birth story is but one more holdover or theft from religious philosophies of heathen lands, existing long before the time of Christ and possessing this story in its entirety. That is where the story of the virgin birth came from. In my last book, Crucified Gods Galore, you will find authentic history for at least 16 virgin-born gods long before this latest of them all. The report in authentic history of the case of a virtuous woman giving birth to a child with the usual form and possessing the usual characteristics of the human being, and who should testify she had no male partner in the conception, might, in an age of miracles and ignorance of natural law, be believed with implicit credulity. But in an age of intelligence, when the keys of science have unlocked the sacred shrines and haloed vaults and sacerdotal and modern researches of history have laid bare the fact that most ancient religious countries abound in reports of this character, a profound and general skepticism must then result in a total rejection of their truth by all men of science and historical intelligence. Many are the cases noted in history of young maids claiming a paternity for their male offspring by a god. In Greece, it became so common that the reigning king issued an edict decreeing the death of all young women who should offer such an insult to deity as to lay to him the charge of fathering their children. The virgin Alcmene furnishes the case of one young woman claiming God for the father of her son, Alcides, 1,280 years before Christ, and Ceres, the virgin-born mother of Osiris, claimed that he was begotten by the father of all gods. The worship of this virgin mother with her God-begotten child prevailed everywhere. As a matter of fact, this child was often pictured lying in a manger in the same manner as the infant Jesus was later laid in the cave in Bethlehem. The worship of virgin godmothers and god-babes is of very ancient date and universal prevalence in all Eastern countries, as is proved by sculptured figures bearing the marks of great age. In corroboration of this statement, I could cite many cases, if I had the time, from the religious records of India, Egypt, Persia, Greece, Rome, Mexico, Tibet, etc. Maya, which means Mary, was the mother of the Hindu god Sakya. Yasoda was the mother of the virgin-born god Krishna. Celestine was the mother of the virgin-born god Zuleus. Chimelman was the mother of the virgin-born Quetzalcoatl of Mexico. Simali was the mother of the Egyptian virgin-born god Bacchus, and Minerva was the mother of the Greek virgin-born god Bacchus. Prudence was the mother of the virgin-born god Hercules, and so on. In these days, the mother was still held to be a virgin even after she had given birth to other children besides the deity-begotten bantling, which furnishes another striking parallel of Mary, as she was still called a virgin after she had given birth to Jesus and his brothers, James and John. When you consider the fact, admitted by Christian writers and evidenced by the Bible itself, that no history of Christ's life was written by a person claiming to have been an eyewitness of the events reported, and when you consider the further fact that the four Gospels are absolutely anonymous writings, you have the answer to the question of how this virgin birth story came to be in Christian literature. Let me repeat a part of that statement to you. Hundreds of thousands of people, and perhaps millions of people, have heard me make that last statement. If the statement is true, your entire Christian structure crumbles. And if you think it is not true, go and ask your minister to tell you honestly who wrote the four Gospels. If he says he knows, ask him to submit to you the evidence. Not a single eyewitness was ever known to have written down one single word about those supposedly miraculous happenings attending the birth of Christ. And, as far as the four Gospels go, no one knows who wrote them. The Christian church itself will tell you candidly that none of them were written until 60 years after the events they are supposed to describe had happened. Yet we have today millions of people trusting their whole soul to a religious philosophy which, in the first place, was given by absolutely anonymous writers, and which, in the second place, is the same identical philosophy of life and of God believed and taught by what we call today heathen and pagan religion. No, I am telling you that this story is not true. You can please yourself whether you believe it or not. These superstitious, morbid, unhealthy stories of virgin births, bloody crucifixions, impossible doctrines of atonement, equally impossible resurrections, are blinding the minds of millions of people to the true power of the Spirit of God as that power exists today. And it is my mission in life to tell men and women the world over that instead of the power of God being an abstract thing, relegated into the heavens someplace or other, this power exists today for you and me, and, believe it or not, this power can and will bring to you, in the moment you recognize it and learn how to use it, everything you can possibly desire, regardless of whether it be happiness, health, or material abundance. Think that over. The doctrine of repentance and salvation may be traced to the same superstitious and heathen origin that the rest of the doctrines of the Christian church may be traced to. If the Christian church does not come to the world pretty quick with a better story than it has now, and with more evidence than it has shown to date, It just simply means that this country, like other countries have done, will utterly discard the entire thing. They have practically done that already. As a social organization, it is all very fine. But as far as bringing the dynamic power of the Spirit of God into a human life, the church today is just as impotent to do this as a log of wood. No, no one ever was born of a virgin, and no one ever will be. Put that doctrine away with other similar doctrines in the file of old religious superstitions, once believed but not believed anymore. No enlightened thinking American can believe such philosophies. And that is the reason that men and women in this country by the million are groping round trying to find the light. My message to representatives of Orthodox religion throughout the world is this: cast away from you these old pagan stories and philosophies, and give God credit for being able to reveal himself to his highest creation, men and women, without such absurd methods as you have been advocating. What kind of a God would he be if the death of one innocent man appeased his wrath and brought salvation to all the rest of the world? Thank God I am infinitely beyond believing such babyish prattle as that.
Well, that is an amazing story, Dr. Robinson.
All God's laws are amazing. Take the law of music, for instance. Listen. If I do not follow the laws of music and touch the wrong keys, I get discord. And it is the same with life. If our life is not to be discord, we must know the laws governing life.
As our guide didn't ask many questions this time, I'm going to ask one. And you are the only person in the world who can answer it. The question is this: are you satisfied to plug away, trusting to luck to help you, or do you want to control your own destiny? If you are in earnest about your future success, health, and happiness, get Dr. Robinson's complete story, as given in the outline of his philosophy. It costs you nothing, does not obligate you. All you have to do is write for it on a penny postcard. Surely his philosophy, which has helped so many people, is worth investigating. Write to Dr. Robinson, Radio Department, Moscow, Idaho. Be sure to put Radio Department in the address so your request will not get mixed with the many letters from Dr. Robinson's students. I'll repeat the whole address again. Dr. Frank Robinson, Radio Department, Moscow, Idaho. We return you now to your local announcers.